Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name.
Now let me tell you something about false teachers. You think so many times that people fall prey to false teachers. And that, in a sense, can be true at times. But I think the dominant theme in Scripture is just the opposite. False teachers are God's judgment on people who don't want God, but in the name of religion, plan on getting everything their carnal heart desires. That's why a Joel Osteen is raised up. Those people who sit under him are not victims of him. He is the judgment of God upon them because they want exactly what he wants, and it's not God.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Teachings of Mormonism, the teachings of the Jehovah Witnesses, the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church or Roman Catholicism is not Christian, plain and simple. And if you are practicing homosexual, you cannot be a Christian. It's that simple. I don't say that, the Bible says it.
Deep in an underground bunker that looks like our mother's basement, in the middle of Lake Michigan, this is Empowered by Christ Radio.
All right, welcome to another episode of Empowered by Christ Radio. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Richard Haas, and it is Wednesday, July 9th, 2014. I hope you guys had a good 4th of July, a good 4-day, 3-day holiday. And now, I know last week we sent out a tweet talking about how we were going to do a show, but you know what? We just ran out of time, could not get to it, so we're going to do this week's podcast instead. And we're going to be covering a wide range of topics like we often do in a show. You know, our shows are kind of like a potpourri of different topics. You know, we try to do like a news media update and go with one main topic. And as always, I always say this and try to express this many times throughout different podcasts. Be Bereans. Be Bereans. What do I mean by that? Be like what the Apostle Paul said to the Bereans, that you are noble above all others because you went back and searched the Scriptures. Don't believe what I say. Don't believe, you know, the guy on the podcast here. Don't believe your pastor, you know, your local church media or whatever, you know, you get your news source from. Go to the Word of God. We always have to go strictly to the Word of God for our final authority. And that is the most important thing. You know, you can listen to me. You can take what I say with a grain of salt. But, you know, hey, I'm only human. I make mistakes. Your pastor makes mistakes. You know, your friends make mistakes. But the Word of God never makes mistakes. So always go and be a Berean and go back and compare what I say. Compare what your friends say, what your pastor says to the Word of God and make sure it lines up with the Word of God. And if I say something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, let me know. And you can do that several ways. You can do that on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ, EBC. You can do that by following us at Twitter, at EBC Apologetics, or checking out our website at empoweredbychrist.org. And, you know, contacting us through our email or our contact forms there. Or you can call us and let me have it at 414-369-2242. And, you know, speaking that phone number and giving that phone number out, you can also use that phone number to reach us, to leave a message, to leave, if you got a question, comment about the show, a topic you want to talk about. If you got a question, we might even play it on next week's show and answer it, and you get a chance to interact with us on the show. And have a little fun, too, while you're doing it. Now that we got all that fun, exciting contact information and how you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can view our website. And, you know, while you're at our website and you're filling out that contact form, you also can check out our articles. And we have a plethora of articles we're writing and updating all the time. So you can just browse around there and check that out. And you also can listen to past episodes of Empowered by Christ Radio. We are also on iTunes, so if you've got iTunes, you can download our shows, and we usually try to put out a show once a week. So, you know, you get about 52 shows a year, somewhere around there, give or take a few. Now, you might be saying, hey, Rich, what is the show about? You know, the title of the show, you might be looking at the title and going, hey, you know, it's the age of the Antichrist? Well, yeah, it seems, you know, and here's the title of the show and kind of the topical theme, if you want to say, of our show today. It's kind of the rising spirit of Antichrist here in America. And these next topics, I think you're going to agree with me that they are all connected in that rise of the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying the Antichrist, big capital A Antichrist, talked about in the Bible as a figurative person. I'm talking the spirit of the Antichrist, small a, meaning that there is a Antichrist against Christ spirit rising here in America. And I think you would be totally foolish, and I don't mean this to put somebody off or blind, to say that there isn't. I mean, all we have to do is turn on the media. All we have to do is look at the media, open your newspaper, you know, whatever, you know, device you use, if it's paper or electronic, and start going through the news, and you can see the hatred, the outright defiance of the Word of God in today's culture. And that is kind of the theme of this show. We're going to look at several topics, and we're going to talk about that overlying theme of the rise of the spirit of the Antichrist here in America. And again, that's with a small a, not the big A, for Antichrist. And we're going to start that opening topic, or going down that trail, with the topic of Hobby Lobby. Yes, this was passed 2 weeks ago, the decision on Hobby Lobby. And we were going to talk about this on last week's show. But like I said, with the 4th of July, things get out of hand. That holiday week, it was a very busy week. It was a very unique week, let's put it that way. We had a lot of things going on, and, you know, things just, a lot of times there's more things to do than hours and days. So we're going to throw it in this week, and it fits more into this whole overall theme we're going to be discussing today. Now, as you know, and I'm sure you have read, you've heard commentaries on, you know, that the Supreme Court ruled on Hobby Lobby birth control issue, that whether or not Hobby Lobby had to follow the Obamacare mandate in the sense of providing all 20 forms of birth control. And in a 5-4 ruling, they favored Hobby Lobby's right to provide 16 of the 20 birth controls. Now, I'm not going to go through all the different forms of birth controls that they form, or will provide for their employees. And I'm going to mainly just concentrate on mentioning the four that they are not going to have to provide. And it's basically what would be considered abortion kits in a box. Now, the four forms that they're not going to have to, or form types of birth control at the center of this Hobby Lobby contention that went to the Supreme Court are basically that they're not going to have to follow or provide for their employees are Plan B, or commonly more known as the morning after pill, Ella, which is another emergency concept, and one is called a copper interuranial device, or IUD. Now, you might be saying, hey, Rich, what does this have to do with the overall topic of the show? Well, it has a lot to do with it, because if we look at a spirit of Antichrist rising in America, this should have never gone to the Supreme Court. It's only because of this underlying spirit, this outright hatred towards anything that represents Christianity, anything that might go against what is worldly, is being challenged. And here we have a Christian-owned, tightly held corporation as defined by the Supreme Court's ruling, closely held corporation, that believes that these four forms of birth control are goes against their beliefs that there are abortion kits in boxes, which I would agree with, 100% wholeheartedly with. And it's not that Hobby Lobby is not willing to provide birth control for their workers. They're not saying, oh, well, we're just not going to provide any type of birth control. You're going to have to do it on their own. No, it's 16 forms they're going to provide. It's four they're not. And it's not even to the extent of Hobby Lobby going, well, if you're going to be an employee here, we're going to make you sign a form saying that you're not going to use these four forms of birth control. They're not even doing that. They're saying, hey, whatever you do with your own money is your private business and your private life. We're just not going to provide those four forms. If you want to provide it, you go ahead, but we are not going to. They're not denying access to it by making you sign a non-usage agreement or any type of thing that would limit your access to those four forms of birth control if you so choose to do so. Now, that questions, if you're truly a Christian, would you use those four forms of birth control that are basically, as I coined it, abortion kits in a box? Now, I don't think if any true Christian is listening to this show would agree that, hey, I'm going to go use Plan B or The Morning After or Ella or any of those that are, you know, going to cause abortion on demand, basically. You might be saying, okay, Rich, at this point, what does this have to do with the topic of the show? Well, it's very simple. There is the spirit of the Antichrist rising in America. And we're going to listen to a couple news clips taken from basically comments and reporting done on this topic of Hobby Lobby when it came out last week. And I want you to listen to the undertone and just the output from the media on almost like this underlying hatred towards the decision and towards Hobby Lobby itself. Not because Hobby Lobby so much doesn't want to cover those four forms of birth control, because I'm sure this wouldn't be news if it happened chance to be, let's say, Starbucks decided to not cover this, or Apple or Walmart decided, hey, we're not going to cover these four forms. We just don't think it's morally right. And that's all they would have to say. But it's because a Christian company is saying and objecting on their basis of their beliefs, not subjective morality as the secular companies would do so, but on based on their beliefs in Christianity and the Bible, there is an objection to this whole process of how dare that Christian company do something in that manner as not want to provide four forms of birth control. Matter of fact, it has been quoted a, quote, war on women, and which is truly funny. I mean, if you think about it, what war on women? Christianity, there is no war on women. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for Christianity and Christianity coming into the role it has over the last 2,000 years, over if you look at the historicity of Christianity, it was under Christianity that women have gained the most freedoms and the most respect. And that's a whole other topic for a different show, and that's something we will be talking about in another show coming up. But I want us today to concentrate and just listen to, and you can hear it, just that undertone of the spirit of the Antichrist rising, even in the media, especially in the media. And that should be no, you know, eye-opener or, you know, knockdown thing to any Christian that's, you know, well-informed today, that there is a different spirit of Antichrist in the media, and it's promulgated in the media, and it's promulgated in Washington, D.C., in your local politics, and it's gathering its force. Now, let's listen to this clip, and then we'll comment and make a comment on that clip.
The Supreme Court ruling that businesses do not have to provide four of the 20 types of birth control to employees due to religious reasons. The controversial decision isn't keeping you from speaking up. Foreign reporter Miriam Zamorano is sharing your thoughts on this one.
The decision from the Supreme Court saying closely held corporations do not have to provide specific types of free birth control to employees is considered a victory for businesses like Hobby Lobby. Obamacare covers 20 types of birth control. This Supreme Court case focused on four of those. The decision hitting close to home for Ave Maria University. It has its own lawsuit against the federal government for an exemption to the Affordable Care Act. A judge suspended action on it pending the outcome of the Hobby Lobby case. Jim Tuohy, Ave Maria's president, knows his fight isn't over yet, but says the Supreme Court's decision is a step in the right direction.
But I think most Americans don't want to see the Little Sisters of the Poor and Ave Maria University coerced into violating their sincerely held religious beliefs.
But Kathleen in South Fort Myer says it's a step back for women.
I think the decision for birth control usage is between a woman and her doctor. And I don't think any organization should have the right to refuse that or to get in the middle of it, even Ave Maria.
And Betty, writing in part on Facebook, this is disgraceful. It is discriminatory against women and an open invitation to more socialist programs. Michelle, calling in from Naples, claims the ruling as a win.
It's against the church belief to do anything that promotes abortion, and that pill aborts children. So they made the right decision.
Gwen writing, they can still get the pill. They just have to learn a new word, responsibility. Miriam Zamorano, Fox 4, in your corner.
All right, there we have it. Now, if you listen to that, and I got a quick couple comments here. This is exactly what I'm talking about here, is that if the media, and certain people in the media, and just people in general, seem to have a misunderstanding of the fact that you heard this one person saying, well, it's a disgrace and a war on women. Well, how is it a war on women? And that another person was like, well, you know, we shouldn't have businesses deciding what, you know, about birth control into what and what isn't covered and that. Well, here's the thing. Both of these people are acting as if Hobby Lobby is saying, as I stated earlier, well, we're not going to cover any forms of birth control. And that, you know, if you're going to be an employee here, you can't use that birth control. They are never saying that. They never have said that. Matter of fact, they're saying, hey, we're just not going to cover these four, but you're more than welcome to use these other 16 forms of birth control that are basically not abortion kits in a box. So you can see there is just a general uninformativeness, but the underlining tone that is rising up is a one of a spirit of Antichrist. Now, let's listen to this next news clip. It's kind of along the same lines, so here we go.
While many are hoping to overturn Obamacare, today the U.S. Supreme Court threw a curveball to one part of the health care law. News 5's Lauren Conley joins us live in the studio with the details. Lauren, a controversial decision.
That's right, Katie. In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby and other family-owned corporations, saying they don't have to provide birth control to their employees if the owners object on religious grounds.
Now, hold on a second. Let's just stop before we continue on. Right there, the media is using misinformation to control viewers. Now, what the Supreme Court and this whole issue was about, it wasn't not providing birth control. What the media is making doing a broad brush fallacy. They're painting a picture of basically saying, well, the Supreme Court is saying that Hobby Lobby doesn't have to provide birth control to its employees. Well, that isn't what the decision was about, and it isn't what the exceptions were about. They are misinforming their viewers right there. Now, this is a form of Antichrist spirit. You know, you're lying, you know, to control or manipulate a section of, you know, the populace. And they're doing so because most of your, let's just call it uninformed voters, uninformed viewers, uninformed populace, low information populace, let's just put it that way, would go, oh, well, the media said Hobby Lobby isn't providing birth control. Well, they wouldn't, you know, happen chance actually to do some research because, you know, their local media reported on it and said, hey, well, it was, they're not going to provide birth control. Instead of saying, they're not going to provide 4 forms of birth control, but they're going to provide 16 forms. No, the media really couldn't say that because, you know, they wouldn't want to promote the truth. Instead, they want to promulgate and misrepresent and proportionate a lie. So let's continue on here and see what they have to say. I just want to jump in there and bring that point up real quickly.
It's a one-stop shop for do-it-yourself crafts.
Right now I'm redoing photo albums of my mom's.
Peggy Derrickson says she's a frequent Hobby Lobby shopper.
Hobby Lobby has the supplies.
The family-owned for-profit corporation is at the heart of controversy, alongside dozens of other companies, taking their case to the United States Supreme Court, saying Obamacare is infringing on their religious freedoms.
Any businesses ought to be able to hold their own opinions.
According to Hobby Lobby, the company operates in a, quote, manner consistent with biblical principles, arguing they shouldn't have to provide employees with free birth control. The Supreme Court agreed in a decision that's getting mixed reactions.
Hold on again, let me jump in. You hear the misinformation again? How Hobby Lobby is not wanting to provide birth control? No. It's not that Hobby Lobby, again, is not wanting to provide birth control for their employees. It is they do not want to provide 4 forms of birth control, but are willing to provide 16 other alternative forms of birth control. But could the media actually say that? No, because it wouldn't promulgate their cause. So let's continue on. Anyways.
No, it's not necessarily religion. Their business practices, they're okay with it.
I feel like they should have to pay regardless.
And why is that?
Just because everybody else has to. I don't see why it's fair that, considering they're Christian, that they get more power, I suppose, than other people.
Some argue...
Moral relativism alert, anyone? Yeah.
The decision infringes on women's rights and say they wouldn't work for a company that opts out of providing contraception.
I guess being as a girl and seeing how important birth control rights and stuff like that are, I don't know if I possibly could.
Well, there you have it. At the very end of the clip there, another misinformer, low information supporter or viewer. Basically, that person in the end there, well, I couldn't work for a corporation that wouldn't provide birth control. Well, it's not, again, as the company is going in and saying, well, you can't take any form of birth control, and if you work here, you got to sign a non-birth control form that says you're not going to take these 4 forms. They're not saying that. They're saying simply, we're not going to cover 4 forms of birth control. Simply, you're going to have to, if you want those 4 birth control forms, you can go ahead and pay for them yourself, but we're not going to provide it. But we are going to provide it by providing you a paycheck, and you can take it out of that paycheck and get that form of birth control. But if you want us to provide for, you know, birth control, there's 16 other forms of birth control you're willing to take. But again, the media, of course, would not put that out there and say that correctly. And I believe, you know, like I stated, it's my opinion, that this is a form of the anti-spirit, small a, rising in America, and the media is part of that. It's being duped. It's been duped for years. It isn't any big news flash, you know, that new breaking news, you know, that the media is, you know, somehow, you know, worldly or anything. But this just points out where the acceleration is going, that they can't even get the information and facts right to get the correct information out there to their viewers. Instead, we're dealing with a news media that wants to promulgate its own idea, its own anti-Christian, its own, you know, secular views, and we can't expect anything more. It's not like, you know, hey, as Christians, we're expecting the world not to be the world. And that isn't the point here, because as Christians, we know, and Bible-believing Christians, the world will do one thing. The world will be the world. It's very good at being the world, and it will always be the world until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. So we're not surprised by that, but what we should be surprised by, and maybe not so much surprised, but we should be taking a notoriety to, is the fact that this acceleration, the ramping up, the gearing up of this spirit, and especially here it seems in America, towards Christians, this hatred, this underlying hatred, this anti-Christ hatred towards Christian persecution. And it's not that, you know, in other parts of the world, and I'm not saying in other parts of the world Christians aren't persecuted, because we are not persecuted nearly as much in any shape or form. What we experience here in America is soft forms of persecution. We are not losing our lives. We are not being thrown in jail. We are not seeing our family members killed in front of us for not paying a Christian poll tax to be a Christian. We are not seeing our churches burnt down, our houses blown up, our property taken, our children being beheaded because we decide to follow Christ. We are experiencing what would be soft persecution. But again, this is the ramping up, the acceleration of an anti-Christ mentality, a spirit that is going to eventually someday lead to where, you know, you, me, your street preacher on a corner, your local Christian station, your local, you know, people like us here on this radio show that speak the truth of the Word of God, who stand in opposition of homosexuality and stand in the opposition of, you know, the lies of media, and speak the truth and use the Word of God, are going to someday be prosecuted, and we are going to someday be persecuted under, you know, that spirit of Antichrist. And we should not be surprised by this. Anybody who's read their Bible knows this is coming. But the purpose of the show is mainly just to point out the acceleration or rising of that. Because as Christians, we need to sometimes step back, because in our daily lives, we get involved in, you know, running your family, going to work, taking care of the daily functions, you know, taking the kids to the soccer game, going to the baseball games, going to the fairs, doing your things. And you kind of, you know, you get those blinders on, and you just go, okay, well, life's going on, and sometimes you need to just step back and go, whoa, hold on a second. And look at where we've gone from where we've, you know, come from to where we are now. And if you seriously take a look back 15 years ago, even late 90s, and then go look from the late 80s back, there is a definitely ramping up, and especially in the last couple years, of an anti-Christ behavior or mentality or spirit within this country. And no more could it be seen as what recently has been aired and promoted within companies. And this goes even, we looked at the media right now taking kind of a hostile view, and the low information viewer, if you want to say, that, you know, siding with, oh, well, those evil Christian corporations, you know, how dare they say a woman can't take these four forms of birth control, I couldn't work for them, to now companies outright promoting an abomination. And the abomination that I'm talking about is homosexuality. Yes, homosexuality is abomination. Homosexuality is not just a normal sin. God doesn't call it a normal sin. He doesn't list it with the other sins. He actually calls it a abomination. And he speaks several times in the Bible about it being abomination. Romans 1:1, he talks about it being an abomination. 2 Corinthians 6:9, he talks about it being an abomination. Back in the Old Testament, it's talked about being an abomination. So God is very distinctly set up that the act of homosexuality is an abomination towards him. And if you look at cultures throughout the Bible, and just throughout the history of civilization, you will find one thing very common, that, of course, in the Bible, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by God, not because they were hospital to people and that they were, you know, not nice. They were destroyed because of their sin of homosexuality, very blatantly. We're told that in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you look outside of that and you look at, like, the Roman Empire, when did the Roman Empire fall? When did a lot of these societies fall? Especially looking at the Roman Empire, because it's well documented that when homosexuality was ran rampant, that the empire fell. That they, you know, no longer could raise an army to fight. They no longer cared. They were more indulged in their own sexual pleasures and their own wanting to support their own fantasies and thrills, that they could not fight. They could not maintain their empire. They couldn't govern themselves. And you see this degeneration of society, and it's talked about in the Bible. It's talked about when the Lord talks about and is written in the Bible in Revelation about how in the days of Noah, when Christ returns, it'll be like the days of Noah. Well, look at back in the Bible. When you look at the days of Noah, what was going on in the days of Noah before the great flood? Many of what you have today. There was a lot of the sins, a lot of what was described. There was rampant homosexuality. There was rampant disease. There was rampant, just outright degeneration against God. There was no respect for God. So what did he do? He had the great flood. Well, we were told, you know, in the Noahic covenant that there would be no flood, that, you know, the promise, the rainbow. And not the gay rainbow, the rainbow that God promised, you know, and that's right there is another twisted perversion of the homosexual, or as I call them, the Gestapo's agenda, is to take something that was biblical, the rainbow, God's promise that the earth would never be wiped out again by a flood, and twist it and turn it and pervert it into something representing Satan. And I'm not going to say this straight outright. Yes, homosexuality is a representation of Satan. And it says so, you know, right in Romans 1:1. If you look at Romans chapter 1, when they're given over to their own nature, their own perversions, well, those own worldly perversions is who's the God of this world? Satan is the God of this world. So they're given over to Satan. They're given over to their own fleshly desires. Well, Satan is the God of this world, the God of flesh, the fleshly, you know, of this world, and of temptation. Well, they're given over to that. And we see this Antichrist spirit being risen and rising in America through this abomination. And what's being promoted now, almost as normality on TV shows, radio shows, even progressive left Christian newscasts, you know, and emergence are trying to, oh, well, you know, well, maybe you can be a homosexual and be a Christian. No, you can't. You cannot be a practicing homosexual and be a born-again Christian. It's just, the two don't line up. It's not biblical. And the Bible is very clear on it. You cannot be practicing homosexual and be a Christian. Now, you could be a repentive, non-practicing homosexual, you know, person that is no longer practicing homosexual, that is maybe, you know, God's delivered you from that and you're struggling with that desire, but you're trusting in God to deliver you from that, and, you know, you're not practicing, you're fighting that, and you're repenting of that, and that means to be repentive, means to turn away, to do a 180, and leave that sin. Not just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to commit it again. You want to mortify that sin. You know, Apostle Paul talks about that in Acts, about mortifying your sin. And the mortification, the killing of the sin. And you could be in that state and be a Christian. But you cannot be an outright practicing homosexual and say, I am a Christian. There's just no way. And those who are supporting and saying that, they are wrong. It's that plain and simple. Look at the Bible, read your Bible, and you will see that. Now, what I'm getting at here is this rising of the Antichrist spirit being promoted in America and in corporations. We can turn and look at very simply, just what is being promoted today, business-wise, out in the business. Companies that promote homosexuality, blatantly or unblatantly, the list is getting bigger and bigger every day. But of late, just this recent, here in late June, we had, in early July, Burger King came out with the Proud Burger. And they came out with a short little video of it, and we're going to kind of listen to the context of it, and, you know, there's something to listen to, and I want you to listen to it, because I've actually got engaged on Burger King's Facebook page, and I encourage Christians to get on there and voice your opinions against these things. And I'm not saying go on there and be mean, but speak the truth of the Word of God, and also use apologetics. Get in there and argue from logic, argue from the Word of God, argue from, you know, a logic stance against what this company is doing, promoting homosexuality. And I brought up to the point, and I basically said, to kick it off on here, that, and it was tongue-in-cheek a lot of times, but, you know, it was to make a point. And sometimes you have to do reducto ad absurdum, which basically means that you've got to take down something to down to the ridiculous level to make the point, to get it across, to show how ridiculous what somebody or a corporation or, you know, an individual is promoting. And what I did was, I basically on their website said, hey, I think Christians should sue Burger King for discrimination, in the sense of that here they are promoting a Proud Burger or a homosexual burger, you know, a burger celebrating homosexuality. And here, us Christians, us heterosexuals, don't have a burger. Where's our burger? Where's the heterosexual burger? Why don't we have a burger? Better yet, why don't we have a I Love Jesus burger? So we're being discriminated against. And I said, hey, we're being discriminated against. And, you know, that sparked a whole bunch of replies and everything, and controversial, you know, and I put out there, I put on the site, I said, hey, you know, I do a podcast, I do a radio show. Any of you, call in, leave a message, I'll address your comments on the show. Well, of course, you know, to this date, at 5:39 p.m. when I'm doing this podcast today on the 9th, and I posted that the other day, nobody's called in, left a message. Nobody really wants to address, because what I did was, when I did that, and people started arguing and all this, you know, I started using apologetic methods. I started using logic and reasoning to defeat their arguments. Well, of course, when you do that, you will quickly realize and come to terms, I'm sure on Facebook, many of you have, you know, and Facebook is not always the best place to get into a theological debate. You know, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to approach it in certain ways. Otherwise, it just turns into a he said, she said, you know, you get off topic, a lot of red herrings, and basically non-seculars happening. But if you approach it correctly, you get them stumped, and they will revert to the only thing someone can do when they're stumped. It's either the only two things. Either admit they're stumped and you've won, or the most common thing, because nobody wants to admit, you know, you actually have a valid point, and they just disagree with your valid point, they go to the ad hominem attack, which, if you're not familiar with an ad hominem attack is, it's basically attack against the man, meaning that they attack your personal character or something you said or you, something like that, but not addressing the issue at hand. So that basically is what happened, you know, on that topic on the Burger King Facebook page. And, you know, I kind of posted a link to that on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC, and you can jump over there and check it out. And, you know, like I say, I invite you guys to get over there and, as Christians, get in there and get involved, voice your opinion. You know, because honestly, homosexuality and those practicing homosexuality represents only about 10% of the society. And honestly, and that's the latest poll. So that isn't like a 10-year-old poll or anything. That's actually since, you know, homosexuality has become so, quote, popular, that it's only about 10% of society. So 10% of the society is trying to control what 90% of the society is doing. And that kind of reminds me of back, you know, and this is why I call them the Gestapo. You know, kind of like the Gestapo, but the Gestapo, because the Gestapo back in Nazi Germany was about 10% of the population, if you do the math, give or take. And it was under 10%, actually, but they controlled 90% of the population. So, in fear, and that's why I always call them the Gestapo. And now, I want us to take and listen to this clip, as I said earlier, before I went down this rabbit trail trend here. But I want us to sit here and just listen to this and see how Burger King is promoting this. And you can just see by the way they're promoting it, just the spirit of Antichrist that is rising in this nation. All right, so here we go. Here's the Burger King Proud Burger clip.
What do you think of Burger King introducing the Proud Whopper?
What?
So like it's forever. A gay burger or what is it?
I just don't really believe in the homosexual lifestyle.
I think it's cool. I think it's a cool idea. I think it's great.
Finally.
Yeah, it's about time.
Do gay people even eat fast food? Really?
What do you want?
What is the Proud Whopper?
I don't know.
You want to try the Proud Whopper? Would you like a Proud Whopper?
Huh? Do you want to go with meat or without meat? Because we can go both ways.
Meat's my preference.
Meat's your preference.
It is.
Are they different?
What is the difference?
I don't know.
Like, it really does taste different. You don't taste it?
I still taste the popper.
I think it's the meat. Mm. The meat tastes like more like sweeter. I don't know.
We are all the same inside. Is that it?
It's the same burger.
Everything's the same on the inside, but it's just the outside.
Oh my god, Emily, dude,
she got it.
We're all the same inside. I like that. I like it too.
I cried in there because I was overwhelmed. A burger has never made me cry before.
You were totally crying.
Yeah, you were.
It makes me feel supported and it makes me feel proud. And it's just a burger, but I mean, it's baby steps the whole way.
We are all the same inside. I think this wrapper means that we all have the same rights.
I love Until My Mate!
Well, there you have it. Burger King's promotion of an abomination. Now, you can't expect Burger King to do anything except what a corporate worldly company would do. But, again, here's that overall arching spirit of the Antichrist raising up against Christianity and mocking anything that is a resemblance of Christianity or stands for biblical truth or Christianity. Now, it's really sad in the end there to hear those kids say what they said. You got the little girl at the end, I love my two mommies. You know, it's sad to hear that. It really is. You know, that child is being born or raised up in a environment that is definitely not biblical, that is definitely not an environment a child should be raised in. And, you know, their overall message, we're all the same inside. I would tend to agree with that aspect of it. Yes, we are all the same inside. We are all sinners. We are all worthless. We are all in the need of a Savior, Jesus Christ. So in that aspect, I would agree. But I would disagree with the promotion of the way they're using the terminology, we are all the same inside. Because in the sense they are saying is that, you know, they're taking a humanistic viewpoint to it and promoting that humanistic viewpoint, a secular moralism, and promoting that to it and attaching it to it. So, no, in that sense, we are not all the same inside. The believer is not the same inside as the unregenerate. And I, as I said earlier, if you're claiming to be a Christian and you're practicing homosexuality, you're definitely and cannot be, not in accordance to my opinion, but in accordance to the Word of God, be regenerate. It's just that simple. Because the Bible clearly states that the unregenerated in Romans were given over to their depravity, their own wantings, their own nature, their fleshly desires. Not the regenerate, but the ungenerate. And, you know, not only that, if you logically look at it from aspect of, if you're practicing homosexuality and homosexuality in general is a slap in the face of the Creator. It's going against God's created design. You're basically going against what God created and said was perfect and was made for His creation, His glory. And you're taking that and slapping that, and, you know, right in God's face and saying, no, it isn't. I know better. You're shaking your fist at God and going, no, my fleshly desires know better than what you, God, who's sovereign and all-powerful, designed. So anyone who would argue that, yes, you could be a Christian and a homosexual, you're wrong. Just plain and simple. I don't have to say it all opinion. I can say from it from the Word of God. But, of course, you know, you wouldn't want to argue from the Word of God because, well, then you'd lose. And, you know, that's the whole part of the spirit of Antichrist rising in this country, is that you find more and more so-called Christians not wanting to use doctrine, theology, the Bible for their basis. Instead, you find emotionalism. And, well, it makes me feel good. It sounds good, so therefore it must be good. That's why you have your risings of, like, Joel Osteen, you know, your Stephen Furtick's, your, you know, Bill Johnson's, all them, your Rick Warren's. You have this overall tickling of the ears and, you know, pastors singing sweet nothings to their congregations, basically, just to get a bigger congregation. You know, it's been said that you use carnal means to attract the people to your church, all you're going to get are carnal people, because you're not using the one thing that will attract, and the one and only thing that can take a unregenerated person and make them regenerated. And that's the preaching of the Word of God, and specifically the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the preaching of that there is a Savior. And in today's world, nobody wants to hear that. If you really want to look at it, America is, a lot of times, we could equivalent it to, and this is not to say, and we're not going to do it, eisegesis, which means taking and applying America to an Old Testament example, but this is just a comparison, that a lot of times the way Jeremiah was calling into the wilderness towards the Israelites, a lot of times biblical Christians today are calling into the wilderness. Nobody wants to hear it. They're a lone voice. You know, they're out in the distance saying this, and everybody's too busy, you know, having their pleasures sought and found, in a sense of, you know, you can have your best life now, and, you know, claim it, name it, stuff, you know, and if you don't have enough faith, well, that's, you know, you're not getting what you want because you don't have enough faith, you know, and that's a whole nother show and a whole nother topic, which actually I'm going to be discussing, was probably on next week's podcast. We're going to be looking at faith healing. And a topic of faith healers and this whole mysticism that has crept into the church and has basically taken a institution of prayer and has basically perverted it into nothing but mysticism. And, we're going to look at that and discuss that. That's going to be a topic for next week's show. So, but as I was saying, there's a general overarching, as you can see from that, or hear from that video, that sound clip, of a Antichrist, and again with a small a, mentality or flavor or spirit rising in America today. No, it's not as you would see in other parts of the world, as I stated earlier. But someday, and if the Lord does not return soon, we will be at that point. You will wake up one day and you will find it will be illegal to walk down the street with your Bible. Maybe your preacher will be in jail because he, you know, preached the wrong sermon. Or, you know, maybe you might find yourself in jail or on charges because you dare said something against Islam or homosexuality, or you criticize something, or you know, you quoted a Bible scripture to somebody, and you know, you might laugh at me and say, Rich, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, just look at England, look at Canada, look where they're headed. America isn't too far behind there, and as Christians, we should not be surprised by that, because we read in the Bible, all through the Bible, that what's going to happen before the return of Christ. It's not going to get better as your dominion and a new apostolic reformation dominionists preach that we're supposed to go out and conquer the world so Jesus Christ can return. No. What do we read in the Bible? We read all throughout the Bible, before Christ's return, things are going to get worse. That if it was not for Christ's return, there would be no human left here on the earth. That's how bad it's going to get. So, I don't want to leave us on a bad down note, but you know, we always have to look at one thing. The Bible says that, but where do we put our hope? We put our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We keep going, doing what's right, follow the Bible, and we keep pushing on, and no matter what happens here on earth, you got to remember one thing. No matter what persecution, we stand for Christ. We stand and say what the Bible says. What's the worst thing somebody can do to us? The worst thing is they can kill our bodies. Okay, so you killed me. Doesn't mean I'm dead. It means, hey, I left this earth. I'm now with my Savior. So that's the worst thing an unregenerate could do. The worst thing for an unregenerate by far is to be killed and not be regenerated, because they won't be with the Savior. They will be in hell. They won't get a second chance. So even though we may face persecution as Christians, we should face that persecution for the glory of Christ. We should face that persecution with the solemn fact that, yes, you may persecute me here, you may hurt me here physically, but eternally you cannot. Now, as I said earlier in the show, in the beginning of the show, don't just take what I say. Don't take, you know, just because some guy on the radio says this. Be a Berean. Go back to the Word of God. Search and find the Scriptures. Use your Bible. And that's what we encourage people here to do. Search the Word of God. Now, thank you for listening, taking the time. Like I said, next week's show, we're going to be talking about basically the institution of prayer and how it's been taken and turned into an institution of mysticism. So we're going to be looking at that topic and discussing that. And I want to thank you for listening. Have a good week. Be safe. God bless. And God willing, we will be talking to you next week. Thank you for listening.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
You have been listening to Empowered by Christ Radio. You can contact us at ebcradio@live.com. You can follow us on Twitter at ebcapologetics and join our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC. Thanks for listening.